Wonderful.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Beautiful.
Christ.
Beautiful.
If you have any questions or concerns about this week's episode, please call our text producer, Dan, at 778-288-9255.
Start the party, Dan.
Okay. Hello, friends, idiots, and friends who are also idiots. Welcome to your favorite podcast about social media and rejection. It is Block Party. This is episode number 281. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And with us is a first-time guest on the program, but Stefan and I have both guested on their podcast before. One of the hosts of Radio Free Tote Bag, Donovan Ayer, is here. Hi, Donovan.
Hi, Donovan.
What's popping, gang? Glad to be here.
What's popping? I'm popping bottles.
Oh my God.
I'm popping.
What else? What else are you popping?
Your pussy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm popping pussies, baby.
Oh my God. Oh boy.
A balloon.
Oh yeah. Balloon's good. Yeah.
Getting to my top three early. It was going to be top three things you can pop.
Right.
I guess we're mixing it up today.
That's fine. Well, it's not April Fool's. It's the day after April Fool's, but
Episode's coming out well after April.
Oh yeah, that's right. I guess that would have been last episode. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yesterday's episode came out on April Fool's
April
Day.
Fool's.
And we didn't really do anything about that.
No,
I should have done like an initial episode post where I said that we were having like, Alex Jones on or something.
Right. Something. Well, who would be believable for like something that people would get really mad at?
Alex Jones would 100% come on our podcast. That is absolutely believable.
You think so?
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I do.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would do it. I mean, I guess there's only one way to find out.
Shoot the shot.
Yeah.
For experimental purposes.
Yeah, we've talked about grifting. Maybe episode 300, we turn the corner and we turn into a grifting show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Well, I guess it is actually quite a bad idea, but... I feel like the 3 p.m. episode recording I feel like we don't really record at that time very often, you know?
We're normally doing mornings a lot these days.
We're doing mornings or we're doing like 1 p.m. Pacific. It's a bit of a different vibe, I feel like.
Dan, how do you feel about this? You seem like you'd appreciate the late record like me.
Yeah, if I'd remembered it was happening, I would have appreciated it much more, yeah.
Dan is where are you right now, Dan?
I'm at my dad's place.
Okay. All right. And why is that?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, sorry.
Dan's there so that he could have a shower.
Right. That's fine. And that's
good to talk about. It's good to get out to the public that you have showers.
It is. That's important. Yeah, Dan,
that's a good idea.
I will say the Wi-Fi here is terrible, so the video of this episode may be a bit fucked.
Okay. Well, that's fine, I think. That's okay. Dan, I was wondering, we were all wondering, what's your water consumption looking like right around now?
Well, I'm drinking a bubbly right now. Does that count?
That counts.
Yeah, that absolutely counts.
There you go.
Yeah. What flavor of bubbly is that? I don't recognize the can.
It's a raspberry bubbly, John.
Oh, is that a new bubbly flavor for Canada? Wow.
Fuck if I know.
y'all are in like a predicament up there. I went to Montreal over the summer. I'd only been to Canada once before, and it had been some time. And that was like prior to my crippling seltzer addiction. And I was like pounding the pavement trying to find places that had anything that wasn't just like plain-ass seltzer water. But there was some store, and it seemed like they came from the U.S. too. They had big cases of bubbly, and the dude kind of made fun of me because I got like three of them. And he didn't know this, but I was only there for like 5 days. But I'm going through a fucked up amount, guys. I appreciate that y'all like the seltzer also. I feel slightly less insane.
I mean, I don't drink that many, so.
Well, John is like, I mean, obviously, you know this and our listeners know this, like a big seltzer guy. But I'm trying to think like, I would love if we got like Polar up here or something. Because I sort of agree with you in that. in that our selection here is not, it's definitely not as good as the U.S.
Oh, like, oh, no, it's not even close.
No question.
We need Spindrift. That's what we need up here. We have no Spindrift.
Yeah, that would
here.
Be great. Polar, I really like. I mean, are there any flavors of LaCroix that we're missing? Because I know we got a new batch like of flavors fairly recently.
We're missing a bunch. We don't have any of the Karate flavors.
Oh, I've seen those up best. Here, though. I have seen those up here at one point.
Yeah, but
sure.
If those are bootleg, if you're seeing them.
Oh, okay.
They're not a Canadian.
Okay.
They don't have them in Canada, yeah.
Interesting.
Spindrift we need. We need the flavored Liquid Deaths.
Yeah.
Because you can get plain Liquid Death in Canada.
That's even that's hard to find again, though, I feel like. That's
don't got Waterloo up there?
No, we do not. No. Waterloo's also great.
That's my top tier. I've got orange vanilla and I got cherry limeade next to me. And God bless. I haven't found them. The polar equivalents are strong too. But yes. Waterloo, top of the charts. I'm announcing it here for 2024. Donno's top seltzers. Very strong.
Like, okay. I like Waterloo. And I do also, I will say, I agree. I think those flavors of Waterloo are better than the polar equivalents. But Polar has the ginger lime mule, which is gotta be the top S tier seltzer of the moment.
That sounds really good. That sounds incredible.
Ginger lime mule. It's excellent. It is excellent. So yeah, we have work to do in Canada, but I will say, Donno, if you find yourself in Montreal again, and I think you and I have actually discussed this in the Instagram DMs, but my current favorite seltzer is from Quebec. It's from a company called Bic Co. And I don't know. There's a drugstore here. It's kind of like a bespoke drugstore that carries these seltzers here. And they have black cherry, yuzu and pomelo, orange vanilla, ginger. And I think there's one other one also. And they are all absolutely excellent. The black cherry is easily the best black cherry seltzer I've ever had. I feel like it's got a slight hint of vanilla in it, and it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I feel like we haven't had a seltzer conversation for a while, so this is pretty good. I got the watermelon LaCroix recently because I think that was one of the only ones I haven't tried yet. And it's nice. You know,
it's decent.
It's nothing crazy.
Scale of 1 to 7.
1 to 7. Yeah. Like 5.5? 5? All no, right. 5.5. 5.5, I think, is out of 7 is like good.
That's
I would
not
say
bad.
I would say 5 out of 7. But yeah, I think pretty solid overall. But
the
last
LaCroix
like
run I did, I tried the cherry blossom, and that is definitely up near the top of my list. I love that one.
That one I don't know.
I think
that
you had it at my house, I feel like.
Maybe I did, yeah.
What does a cherry blossom taste like?
It's got it's almost like it does kind of taste like cherry essence more so than like straight up cherry. It's almost like a subtle cherry. And then I want to say there's like notes of chocolate in it.
What the
Which
fuck?
Sounds kind of crazy, but it's very good in my opinion.
Wow.
What are they putting in these trees, man? That is crazy. I saw that in the store, but I've been tricked by like floral flavors before. And I was like, cherry blossom, there's no way it actually tastes like cherry. This probably tastes like a dang tree. But if you're saying it's good, I'll give it a go.
You should give it a rip and tell me what you think.
Because nice.
It is a nice, it's a nice flavor. I've been on this. I don't drink a lot of caffeine, but I have been deep on my Zevia vanilla colas lately.
I saw you drinking those the other day. And
it's excellent.
It's really good. It doesn't have too much of a weird aftertaste, which is good. You sometimes get that with
Zevia
that.
Zevia is definitely the best zero calories. So yeah. That doesn't have like aspartame. Like Coke Zero is kind of the goat, but it's also aspartame, which is kind of the bad.
That's
I don't know what the opposite of goat is. The woat? The worst
it would be the woat. It's the woat. It is the woat, I think.
The woat. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I tell you my millennial bullshit beverage?
Please do. Yes.
This is the most like just fucking hipster, lib, big city shit. A bunch of places, and you can find them at the corner stores here, make like a CBD seltzer.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And they're like $4 or $5 for a can, which is not... It's not worth it. And yet, so many times I go through there and I'm like, I don't think I remember this doing anything to me, but maybe this time it'll chew. I'm having a rough day. Like a CBD sounds good. And I'm pretty sure it's not doing anything to me, But every time I see it, I'm like, maybe this time will be different. Maybe this time I'll really but get are, like a chill buzz.
Are you a weed person? Are you like, because I feel like I have had drinks with a little bit of THC and then like a lot of CBD in them. And I feel like it does make it like it hits me, but I'm not a big weed guy. So like for you, is your tolerance to that kind of high? Are you a weed person or no?
Well, it's legal here in Chicago. And so I think I can speak on this. I wouldn't say I'm like a huge weed person. I definitely, like, I'll eat a gummy, not infrequently, but I eat, like, half of the little tiny ones, like, 2.5 milligrams. People talk, like, Dan, I don't want to come at you again after my water concern earlier, but you've described some of the doses you've taken on here, and I'm like, that would kill me, man. That sounds horrifying. So I don't think I have a lot of a tolerance. I just, like, 2.5 milligrams, enough that you feel a little bit of something, but I'm not going to like get into an existential spiral. That seems to be the sweet spot for me.
That sounds good.
So then in theory, the CBD seltzer should hit you. Is that more what I was getting something. At? I wasn't trying to like blow up your weed spot. Or
Coming out of this podcast to get grilled about my habits. My favorite part of the show is a long time listener.
What crimes are you committing?
Oh boy.
Again, I feel like it's chilled me out sometimes, but I don't know if it's just like placebo or some of them just taste really good. Like there's a brewery or something here that makes like a juniper one. And it has kind of like that Christmas tree, like gin taste to it without like the alcohol flavor or any of that. Yeah. And that's pretty good. And I can't remember if like, damn, I felt good last time I drank one of those, but was it because I was just having a good day? Or did the CBD actually work some magic on me? I can't decide.
I feel like
if you double blinded me, my gut feeling is it's not doing anything to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think anything you can buy at like a gas station. Well, that's not true because you could get like what was it? Was it K2? The shit that like fucks you up. You could get that at a gas station. So I guess that's not a hard and fast rule, but I do feel like if you're I don't think a CBD drink is like John. I think you could handle a CBD drink just fine.
Oh yeah, I Oh, I think I could too. I mean,
they make it for
right.
They make it for like dogs with anxiety. So I think you could handle it.
Well, I think that like I would agree with you though, Dono, in that like if I bought one of those, then I feel like I would want it to work, so it would just. I would think it's working because I think if you are doing that, right, if you're taking something that's CBD only, you're probably doing it when you're about to lie down or like play video games or watch TV or whatever. So it feels like you'll just be lying down and feeling good and comfortable. And then you're like, geez, I am chilled out. And it's like, well, yeah, you're lying down watching TV.
This is probably the seltzer, man. This is awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm on this occasion, I'm doing it to come on Hit Podcast Block Party. And I just cracked this one open. So if I start getting a little wacky at the halfway mark,
it's the CBD.
Well, no, it's rocking. Yeah,
it's the CBD.
Everybody knows classically CBD fucks you up as well. That's a very John Cullen thing to say, to be honest, is being like, guys, I had a CBD only drink and I think it did something to me. I think it like,
well, I mean, you can tell when we're recording and John has had like a full sugar soda or something with caffeine in it.
So this man is hyper.
Yeah, so I do think if John had a CBD thing, we could.
Well,
I'm having
caffeine right now, so.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, how much caffeine does that have in it? Is it like
it's not
less
that much.
Than,
it's like 45 milligrams.
It's like a cup of coffee?
No, yeah, coffee's like 80,
I think. Oh, yeah, I think I discussed this on YKS when we did. I mean, some of the shit they were drinking, because it was for
A cup of coffee's only 40 if it's a 100 gram cup of coffee.
So it's a small cup of coffee. But when I was on YKS,
for six
we were,
fluid ounces, it's 71 milligrams, which is probably about what you'd be drinking. So yeah, it's about half of a cup.
Okay, we were drinking like nasty, like gas station energy drinks, and I was drinking, because it was for a Frank D'Angelo episode, right? So obviously Cheetah Power Surge is, I mean, the website is still operational, but I don't think you can actually get any of the stuff.
There's no way you can still get Cheetah Power Surge. Oh,
I never had any. John, did you actually ever have any?
No, I've never really been an energy drink guy.
Yeah.
There was like a brief, like, I wouldn't even say there was a brief period, because I the only time I can remember consuming energy drinks with regularity is when I went to curling camp, because I was a counselor at curling camp, and me and my friend we were like dorm duty. So we had to stay up until 6 a.m. and then we would sleep from 6 a.m. to noon, because the kids would get up around like 7.
Right.
So like the first counselors would get up at 6, they would relieve us, and then we would go to sleep. And I can remember in those weeks, like, drinking energy drinks.
Yes.
But then, like, other than that, never really using them. But I mean, that was also in the era where I was drinking 3 Cokes a day.
Sure.
So I was taking home a lot of caffeine, but that was the only time. Like, energy drinks just never really appealed to me. I don't like the taste of them.
Right.
So they never hit with me, I don't think.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, Dan, I think we know, is a big are you a Monster guy, Dan? What's your go-to, or Red Bull?
I'll drink it all, baby.
Okay. Let's go.
But some of the stuff we were drinking, well, I got the closest thing to Cheetah, which was Beaver Buzz. Which is like, I know, it's insane.
I get Cheetah. I mean, I guess beavers are known for being industrious, but I don't think of them as like hauling ass all over the place, cranked up kind of energy.
No,
I think it's just a Canadian thing.
I think it's
right?
Just because they're
just
like,
wanted we're to have a Canadian company.
See.
Yeah, because the flavor was Saskatoon berry.
That's the one we put in Canada.
It was the exact same one we put in Canada Juice. We should do Canada Juice too. I think we should. Anyway,
honestly, you want to talk about me being high?
Yeah,
that is probably the most hyper I've
what
been
was
since
in
I was a kid.
What is Canada Juice?
Oh, this,
well. It was Dono, and you
like,
should
this
be scared.
Pre-COVID,
ask,
wasn't it? It had to be pre-COVID.
This is pre-COVID. It was a Patreon tier, so it was like if we got to a certain Patreon tier, because what it was there was this like college football player who had gone viral for talking about this crazy energy drink that he made himself.
Yes,
that was like bananas, Gatorade.
Was it Will Levis? Or he was the mayo
no,
and
no.
coffee,
it was
I
like
think.
A linebacker or yeah. something like that. And it just had all these like really weird ingredients in it. And so we joked on the show that like the Canadian equivalent would have this, 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 and this in it. And so we ended up getting to the Patreon tier, making it and drinking it. And I believe it, we did Beaver Buzz, bananas, Timbits, maple syrup.
Wait, yeah. Like mashed up donut holes?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Timbits are like munchkins, if Americans don't know. Timbit. What else did we put in there? There was something else that we put in there.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something fucking gross?
There was something really bad in there. I'm trying to remember what it was. There was something really fucked in there.
There wasn't the mashed up soggy donut holes mixed in with the beaver juice. Was it a thick consistency? This sounds horrifying.
It was like I would call it a slurry. Is the texture to
yeah? It was definitely a slurry.
Because it was
love
like
a slurry.
It was like liquid, but there were just like little like chunks of donut that didn't quite make it through.
There was
the,
some coffee crisp in there too, wasn't there?
Oh, coffee crisp. Yes, but there was something like there was something that wasn't like towards the sweeter end of the spectrum, right? It was wasn't there? Are you looking it up, John?
I'm trying to look it up, but I don't know that we.
Yeah,
I don't know that we fully ever like wrote it.
It wasn't
down
like
anywhere.
All dressed chips or something, was it? No, that would have been a good. That was a missed opportunity, actually. Speaking of that chips, what are you eating right now, Dan?
I'm eating chips.
No, I know what kind of chips. I know they're obviously chips.
There's some salt and vinegar chips.
Okay,
that's a good choice.
Yeah,
that's
that
a
is
solid
a good choice.
Choice.
That's great, Miss Vicky's.
Okay, here we go. That is all the ingredients.
Okay.
Cheese curds. That was gross.
Oh, no.
Yes. Timbits, cheese curds, beaver buzz,
Saskatoon
berry,
which
beaver
I think is the
buzz,
most Canadian flavor.
Maple syrup, coffee crisp, and banana.
You're making a potion, like a Canadian potion.
It was really, it was not good. It was quite nasty.
And this was actually in COVID. It must have been like when things reopened because we recorded it in October 2020.
Jesus.
We got to celebrate. How are we going to do that? Let's throw donut holes and cheese curds in with the beaver juice.
Worth the risk. Yeah. Because that was like pre us getting like vaccinated too. Like we got to get together and make this horrible concoction.
Man, maybe we should do it again. Cause I'm looking at the Patreon tier total that we had to get to in order to drink that. And it's quite a bit more than we're making now. So maybe we
We should do that again.
Maybe we should. We have
the $100 club goal, but we haven't set just like a normal Patreon goal for a while. I think maybe that's something to do. Yeah. Cause I'm fine drinking some nasty shit again. The Saskatoon Berry, honestly, I mean, here's the thing. I feel like all those drinks sort of taste the same.
Yes.
The only difference is, so Jesse got one, I forget what it was called, but it literally had a warning on it that said, do not consume this, less than 2 weeks before surgery. 2 weeks. That's crazy, right? Like I sort of understand like the day before maybe, or like a couple days before, but 2 weeks, that's like really nuts. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a Canadian version of that that's equally as dangerous, but it might be worth checking. Yeah. What would go in version two? Canada's Juice 2.0. Do you guys have any suggestions? Anything different? Because I think maybe
we would have to do something different.
It would have to all be completely different, right? I mean, poutine. We had cheese curds, I guess, before, but maybe an entire.
Well, my brain went to poutine gravy, which is a bad idea. But that is the first thing that came to my mind was poutine gravy.
I think, unfortunately, I think you are correct. That has to be. Because I think the other thing is it has to be actually nastier, right? We have to step it up. If it's like,
it didn't taste that gross. Like it wasn't good.
The
but
texture
it wasn't,
was. It was the texture was bad.
The texture
the
was,
taste was fine. Okay. Yeah, the taste was not like the taste. I think anyone could have handled the taste, but the texture was like just like, and it wasn't even like chunky. It was like a slurry consistency. Like I said, like it was liquid, and then you just get like. I don't like grittiness almost. Like, I don't know what you would, how you describe it. It was not good.
You got to make the texture worse then, man. And I'm thinking you get the whole burger family. You toss that in a slap shop and then you dump that in there.
Oh, Jesus.
Call it like the Canadian family reunion or something. Along
oh
those
my
lines.
God.
This is, you're very Canadian educated. Yes. Dono, that you bring it up the burger family. Have you had Canadian A&W?
I think I hit either you or Alex from House of Decline as my Canadian contact.
Mm. Yeah.
I heard y'all reference the teen burger and stuff on the show when I went up there, and I was telling my family, I was like, they got a teen burger. We got to try that. They were all like, what the fuck is that?
I know. That's an insane name. It has teen sauce on it as well.
Yeah. Nobody, I was like, come on, let's go check this out. It's supposed to be, you know, we got A&W down here, but it's supposed to be like, it's good here.
Yeah.
And nobody went with me, no matter how many times I insisted that there was a teen burger and we had to find out what that was. I went, it was very good. I got the teen burger. I got like onion rings, I think, and a root beer.
Nice. Yeah.
Very solid experience. Like knocks most widespread American fast food chains out of the park.
It really does. And that's a great order, by the way. That is kind
of
like,
a really
that's
good
like
order.
The classic A&W order. So you nailed that for sure.
I'll say this in the future, Dono. Famously, the Doughboys visited us for an in-studio Blocked Party episode. And then they had A&W and did a live episode in Vancouver. And it got the golden fork or the platinum plate, or I don't even remember what they call their thing.
Forks.
But they.
Yeah.
They gave it a 5 out of 5. So if you have Americans that are scared, that's sort of the ultimate endorsement.
I get that because like A&W in the States like does terrible. Suck ass, is my understanding.
It's fucking terrible.
It's really bad. It's like totally different up here. I think it's a more extreme example of when I was in Australia, we had Hungry Jack's, and I was like, oh, this shit is actually good. Whereas Burger King over here. And I think presumably in the U.S. is bad.
As low tier. Yeah, it's not great.
So Hungry Jack's was good. A&W Canada, I mean, we've preached about it for years at this point.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of getting the burger family involved in some way in Canada Juice 2.0.
Maybe that should be the main liquid is an A&W root beer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's
Cause we have to have a base liquid. So last time we had Beaver Buzz Saskatoon Berry.
Yeah.
So maybe we go to an A&W Canada, we get the root beer, and then that's kind of our main. So we're at root beer and poutine gravy. What else do we need in here?
Root beer. Are we going more savory, I guess?
I mean, I don't want to.
No, I understand that. Neither do I, but I think we have to go big for this, right? If it's going to be a Patreon tier goal, I think it does have to be nastier. And unfortunately, most of the time, nastier means savory when you're usually expecting sweet or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. Well, so Donna, what's another Canadian ingredient? Like that just springs to, I think it's important to keep the Americans in mind here.
Yes.
Of like what's a quintessential Canadian ingredient in fact,
your opinion here, I think maybe holds more weight because
I agree. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you all for supporting America and our number one representative, me. I appreciate that. The whole country salutes you. If you had fucked up slurry texture, I genuinely think mixing a burger in there like that's
we're
pretty
vile.
We're
not putting a fucking burger in it, okay? That's
are you
not
sure,
happening.
Though? The American yes. people are crying out for it, John. I got my ear to the ground here.
I'm not blending a burger in my Vitamix. That is not happening.
I will do it. I will do it. I can have a slightly nastier one. I'll put a little... Because what's the slider? Is it the baby burger?
Yeah, the buddy.
Or the buddy
the
burger.
Buddy.
The buddy burger. Because I think the baby burger is just like the kid's meal.
It's even
burger.
Smaller, I think, yeah.
No, I don't think it's smaller. I think it's actually bigger.
Oh,
I think
okay.
it's the kid's, like the sort of plain burger.
Interesting. Okay.
Buddy burger is the slider.
Okay.
Is there an uncle burger?
There is.
Yes, that's a sirloin burger.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Is that one like fucked up? I feel like the uncle should have like some weird energy to it. Uncle Burger. Yeah.
You're not allowed to order an Uncle Burger and a Teen Burger in the same order.
I will say it's not fucked up, but I think it is sort of like, it is kind of uncle-like in that I think it's kind of just around once in a while. I don't know that it's a permanent menu thing.
It is not permanent.
It is sort of like a McRib style thing, but I think it is kind of, it's uncle-coded in that you see it like once a year sort of thing.
It's uncle-coded.
It's uncle-coded in that respect.
Due to the rising cost of rent and some marital issues, the Uncle Burger has returned for a limited but indeterminate amount only.
Yeah,
until he can get back on his feet.
I feel like I don't think I've had the Uncle Burger.
It seems like the Uncle Burger is maybe on the menu all the time.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like it's not even a sirloin patty. It's a larger beef patty. So like I guess the uncle is.
But it was
like
sirloin. Was it not sirloin? Let me see. Uncle sirloin.
I'm looking it up right now.
Uncle Burger was
on Burger Wiki. Maybe Uncle is not. Maybe
I think
it's
they have
wrong
a separate
now.
One
Let's
that's
see.
A sirloin.
Let's see.
You gotta go on
Teen Burger, double teen. Yeah, cheddar bacon Uncle Burger.
Are we?
So yeah, you got.
Were we like hallucinating it as a sirloin burger? Are we fucking?
You
swear,
were. Why are you saying we? You fucking said
well,
that.
No,
I didn't say it was a sirloin burger.
Well, look. Anyway, I could have sworn it was a fucking sirloin burger.
And you're wrong. So.
I guess I am. Oh, this is
but yeah, we've got the Papa Burger, the Mama Burger, So the baby burger is just like the kids' menu. You can see there, it's just like a normal. So the buddy is the small one.
Okay.
You're putting your foot down, John, on burger items, that's where most of my Canada expertise was knowing about these A&W menu items. I know about the curds and the poutine.
Yeah.
We've covered that. I know about maple syrup. That's like Canada 101 stuff.
We had that in our last one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else like is up there that's this unusual.
Oh, you know what? And this is, I don't know. I don't even want to say it.
What is it? I want to know
that
now.
I thought about. Well, it's just like, because I'm thinking of like, what's the sort of like food people bring back from like Canadian airports?
Oh,
and I'm thinking of that like candied salmon.
I was
going
to say candied salmon. Oh,
what
fuck you.
I knew there was going to be a fish thing.
Yeah.
I did mean to ask, is there a fish
horrible.
Thing?
Why did I thought of it and I didn't want to say it, but that is really fucking gross.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned this before, but I think all dressed chips.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
I think ketchup that has chips, to be in
is
there.
That Canadian?
Oh, that is that also is Canadian.
I think I would prefer. I think I would prefer all dressed to ketchup, but I feel like in the end of it, it's kind of all going to taste the same, probably. Oh, what about like a Nanaimo bar?
Oh, that's good. Sweet, we've got to have a little sweet in there.
I feel like we need
we have more candied liquid, salmon, poutine gravy,
blended teen burger,
A&W root beer, a Nanaimo bar, and
Hawkins cheesies.
Oh, ew.
Dono, Hawkins cheesies are this is like for me my ultimate.
I don't even like those.
Oh, I love them
just on their own.
They're so good.
This is advanced Canada.
It is. It is.
Because I think they're British, ultimately, aren't they?
No, I'm pretty sure they're Canadian. I want to say they're Canadian, but I can check, obviously.
They're so gross.
Where are these fellas?
Yeah, they were initially founded in Tweed, Ontario.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, Hawkins cheesies are like, I mean, what's the equivalent, I guess?
Americans don't really have one.
Like, there's Cheetos.
It's a hard cheesy.
Yeah, it's more
so it's
like
it's very crunchy when you bite into it.
You know how cheesies are like, well, there's like the puffs, I guess, right?
Yeah, like Cheetos got the puffs and then they got the weird like knurled ones that get stuck in your teeth.
That's kind of more what it's like, I think. And there's something about the Hawkins cheesies. I think part of it is that the bag has like never changed and the branding has never changed. So it's like this shitty plastic that's like see-through. I think that, you know what? I think that is a big part of it because to quote friend of the show, peep this out. Chip bags are having too much air in them nowadays.
That's so true.
It's true. I mean, look, he still doesn't understand that like you kind of need the air in there, otherwise the chips are going to get crushed. And he doesn't get that anyway. That's a whole other thing. But the Hawkins cheesies, Dan, can you? Oh, Dan's frozen. I think. Oh no, he was just laying still like an iguana.
Come on, man.
Dan, can you get a picture of Hawkins cheesies up, or are you able to do
that?
No,
I'm not able to do that right now.
Okay, that's okay. Anyway, the bag is see-through, which I think does play a bit of a role in the appeal, in that you can kind of see exactly what you're going to get. And you can go like, hey, I want this bag because it has the fucking really big cheesy right in the middle there. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's nice. Yeah, I think, John, they unfortunately...
It says that they're not only is it the same bag, they're still making the cheesies on the original machine from 1956.
That's what's
we love
up.
It.
That's good.
Yeah.
That fucking rules.
It's well seasoned. This doesn't sound good at all. It says the snack was invented after the Second World War by James Marker of Dayton, Ohio, and W.T. Hawkins. The pair were living in Chicago, Donna, when they discovered a method by trial and error of extruding cornmeal, casting it into fingerling shapes, then deep frying it in vegetable shortening and sprinkling it with cheddar cheese.
Ooh.
We love to extrude down here. That's a big Chicago thing. Extrusion.
That sounds good.
It was originally produced in Tweed, Ontario, where the recipe was perfected in 1949. The production was moved to Belleville, Ontario in 1956. After a fire destroyed the original plant in Tweed, and the only thing they make is cheesies. They were making other snack foods, and then they said, "You know what? We're a one product company.
We know
company.
What works here." Okay, so this, so what's the final list right now? What do we have?
Poutine gravy,
A&W
root beer,
teen burger, burger,
no
candied salmon, Hawkins cheesies,
Nanaimo bar. Was there something else sweet? Oh, all dressed chips. So this is... Oh,
it's not going to be
good. This is sounding great.
It's just going to be a big cup of salt, basically, right?
Bad.
Oh, this is... like.
It's going to taste really bad.
It's not going to blend very well, is sort of my worry here.
We'll just have to have lots of root beer in there, then it'll be fine.
Fuck.
Have you ever drank like a fucked up thing, Donna, like when you were a kid or anything?
Like standard potion stuff as a kid. The one really bad one was in college. You ever watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia back when that was I don't know.
I've never seen it.
John is not, I mean, famously doesn't really watch anything. So
I watch TV, but I've never watched that show, no.
So it's a bunch of chaotic people and chaotic characters. They get up to hijinks. There's an episode where they're going to like an Eagles game, Philly football team, and they make some kind of like nasty beverage that they call Riot Punch. Like it's just like a bunch of booze mixed together in like a big jug or something. And cause I was 20, and also really stupid. And so were my friends. We were like, we should do that. We should be like them, but they don't give a clear recipe. So our thing we came up with, cause I think they mentioned it as caffeine in it at least.
Yeah.
So we would get, a couple bottles of 151 or Everclear. If I went to school in Ohio, there's like an Air Force base in Dayton, and there is some, you could get Everclear on the base, but not at like state liquor stores for some reason. So some Air Force.
I've never even heard of Everclear before.
It's like 95%.
It's like grain alcohol, right?
Yeah. It's not good.
Online, it's saying the sort of standard is Everclear mixed with Kool-Aid. The decent rule of thumb is 1/4 Everclear and 3/4 Kool-Aid. This Reddit poster writes, I wouldn't go more than half and half unless you're trying to prove something.
Well, we were trying to prove something, apparently, because we didn't even think about like ratios and stuff. We get a big, like a trash can, and we get a new one just to clear that up. We're not drinking trash juice. We get the trash can. You dump two things of Everclear in there. You get those juice concentrate tubes that you get in the frozen aisle.
It's
just like a tube of like concentrated frozen stuff. Chuck that in there because that covers everything up. Then you dump a bottle of 7-Up and a bottle of Fruit Punch, and then a couple of Red Bulls. And then we would crush up caffeine pills and mix that into it also.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The powder would kind of like float on the top. So there was kind of like chunks. If you got like really lucky, you get a couple chunks in yours. And then a couple 5-hour energies in there too.
Oh my God.
It was bad, man. You'd hit a part of the night because the caffeine like curbs the alcohol or whatever. At a certain part of the night, the caffeine would wear out on everybody, and then people would just start dropping like flies. Fucking terrible. And we like kept doing that all through college.
That was not a one-night deal.
No, this became like a tradition.
Oh, no.
I got a sordid past, John.
Oh, my God.
It was not a good time for old Dono. So that was probably, that shit was pretty gross. You get like the chunk, and you bite it with your teeth, and it's like bitter caffeine pill. You couldn't taste the alcohol, though. It was just all sugar and
that's
and
good, I guess.
Caffeine.
That's a good thing. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, I
accomplished.
Think the nice thing about this edition of the Canada Juice is that I don't think it's gonna like. It's just gonna taste bad. I don't think it's gonna like fuck us up or anything, right?
Well, yeah. Last time I got very hyper after we drank it. It was an unbelievable amount of sugar.
I don't do Beaver Buzz normally, right? So,
What was that? But it was just like also every single item in it had sugar except for the cheese curds.
That's
so
true.
Like
this will really be a little bit, I guess, less sugar. So that is a plus, of course. But
yeah, just increase your savory ratio. You'll be in great shape.
Yeah,
and I mean, with 4 blended burgers in there, it's gonna be mostly savory. You're probably gonna be erring on the side of too much savory. So I think y'all will be good.
Oh, I can't believe we're doing this again, John.
I would like to stop talking about this. Let's move on to our social media updates.
What a fucking good segue. Now let's move on. It's time to discuss what popped up in your feed. Who are you following? What did you see? Sports or politics, tweets and skis, hot takes on the TL, fast food freaks, it's our social media. What a fucking good segue.
All right. Dono, we always like to start with
Sorry, I actually can't tell if Dan is frozen or not because he's so still right now.
He is not
It's
frozen.
Really... Okay.
I'm not frozen.
It's
right
impressive.
Here, bitch.
I'm just saying it's impressive. It's impressive because you've got the cat standing completely still behind you as well. Who is that, by the way?
That's my dad's cat. That's Kiki.
Actually named Kiki?
Whoa.
I'm sorry, what?
How do we never know that your dad had a
How did
same
you not bring this
cat?
Up?
I've brought this up before, I'm pretty sure.
This just in, Kiki 2 spotted over Dan's shoulder.
Did your dad name Kiki after Stefan's cat?
No, he had this cat before Stefan had.
Oh, so Stefan copied you.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if that's true, but
Dono, we always like to start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
All right, I kind of got locked onto the cat. She's just, I don't know, looks like a sweetie. I want to pet that guy. Hell yeah, at the end. And she's turning around, give him a little sniff. That's beautiful. Aww. Social media update. So like I'm a podcast person, but I only really like got on Twitter and stuff because I had to like connect with other shows and whatnot. I've never been like a big kind of tweeting person because I'm not very good at it largely. And recently on account of the Elon stuff, like I can't be on that. I go on there for group chats. I can't be on there generally. You know, you use Blue Sky, but I'm mostly just like posting pictures of my cat or a new episode or music or thirst traps. That's kind of like, that's the four things I can do. That's the things I can do well. One of my interests, though, and am I on the autism spectrum? That remains to be determined. I'm really into paleontology.
Okay.
And also, I guess, zoology, just like animals. And like,
yeah, that's a little bit, that's a little spectrum coded. Yeah.
It's a little bit on there. I like planes also.
Okay. That, now we're starting to, yeah. And where do you stand on trains? Don't know.
But so like fish, I watch a lot of like YouTube on just weird stuff that's in the ocean. I like learn about whales, about types of fish I didn't know exist. I just think it's interesting. And you know, the way the algorithm works on Instagram, because that's what I'm mostly scrolling these days, is they'll throw like fishing content at you. Well, it started with fish. Like, here's a marine biologist and they got this real cool big fish that's only in the deep sea. And I like it because I want to see more of that. But now I'm starting to get like fucked up clickbait fish stuff, like fishing material. Like, you know how in the reels or whatever, or on TikTok, I don't really use that one, but I understand the clickbait stuff. Like it'll be a short clip or like an image of something that's like blurry or you're like, what the fuck is that? I gotta go click on that thing. Instagram starting to hit me with that with fish. And so like I was scrolling on there. I saw an arowana that had like a second head attached to its head, just like this mutant fish going around. That was really upsetting.
Okay.
I keep seeing videos of like depressing, like sick aquarium fish. And instead of like, Stefan, you were talking recently about like the sad cat videos. It's like that, but fish.
That sucks. I think it's just the same for any animal thing almost where I don't know what it is. And maybe it's something to do with like gaming the algorithm, but with cats, at least, it's like, I bet you won't follow this this senior cat or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm not going to. The cat is really cute, but the cat is 22 years old. Like, I know where this ends, you know? It ends with me seeing a post that makes me sad, right? Whereas with the fish, you're getting ones that are just in, like, bad shape already, it sounds like.
It's just, like, nauseating.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you like fish. Here's one with a bunch of worms coming out of its gills.
Oh my God.
And because of the way they just try to put like reels and stuff in there, like I'll be scrolling to see, oh, my friend put out a new song or something. Or like, oh, it's like pictures of cats and synth stuff besides that. And so sometimes I'll get locked into the scroll. And then all of a sudden, like right before this, there was a big, dead, huge sunfish. Like one of those giant, like round fish with a bunch of bites out of it. And some guy on a beach was like poking it with a stick. I don't want that.
No, of course not.
That sounds terrible.
Jesus Christ.
So a lot of like washed up, nasty aquatic organisms, and I can't seem to get them to go away.
It's weird how it works that way for animals. Like if you, it would never work that way for human, you know, like, oh, you like basketball. It seems like you're watching a lot of basketball clips. How about these 95-year-old basketball players who are all ill? They're all ill and sick, and they might fucking die on the court.
The equivalent would be, and this is like, because I watch like hockey highlights on YouTube all the time, is that, and soccer highlights too, is that it will oftentimes give you like, worst career-ending injuries of all time.
Yes.
And then it's a guy on the ice, like, blood coming out of his eyes is, like, the thumbnail image. And it's like, who wants to watch this?
See, I feel like I don't go on YouTube, but I feel like I've talked on about this on the show, but I've very carefully curated my Instagram now,
yeah,
where it's almost exclusively sports highlights or like athletes being nice to people that are sick or hurt or yes, disabled.
Yeah.
And it's like the best.
You've got it down.
That's okay. Lovely.
I think I've got mine down for the most part too. And I feel like there's probably a way to regame the fish algorithm to get back to normal too. But the issue is, I feel like you see one thing like that and you click on it out of like morbid curiosity.
Yep.
And then the algorithm's like, well, they clicked on it. So
wow, this guy likes alive fish and also dead fish.
Yep.
You gotta get into like Google or whatever. If you get in your account, you can see like the tags you've associated with you. I need to know what these are categorized. Oh, yeah. Rancid sea creatures. We see that you love those and then X that out somehow.
Yeah.
What is your secret for regaming it? Do I just gotta like more of the good stuff, or do I
think that's the only way.
And hide the like,
yeah,
like when it shows you a bad one, say like I'm not interested in this, or
click
hide
the three dots and say like don't show me stuff like this. Which does, I feel like that works honestly fairly well on YouTube,
yes,
at least
it does.
So that's good, but yeah, it's a mess out there. It's
well,
crazy,
God, especially for these sunfish. Sounds yeah, like.
Those guys are cool too. They're huge, goofy fish. I don't want them to get a chunk taken out of them.
No,
I'm against.
No, of course
that.
Not.
I'm coming out with my hard stance. I'm against sunfish getting chomped. Revealing that here on Block Party.
It's about time. Wow. It's about damn time.
Finally, someone put their foot down.
I'm taking a stand.
Stefan, what's going on your social media?
Well, we have a classic, really bad post, which I haven't really done in a while because I'm not.
Love a bad post.
I'm not on Twitter anymore, really, but I did see someone sent this post to a group chat I'm in, and obviously, I guess Dan can't bring this up, but that's fine. We don't need to see it anyway. This is about the Cybertruck, of course.
Oh, love a good Cybertruck post.
Yeah, this is from Chuck
Cook. I'm still waiting for mine. It's been on order for a while, and it's just, I think they're a little behind on production.
I think
but,
they are, yeah. This is
I am going to get, you want to talk about popping pussy.
Well, that's kind of what
once
this
I have
post.
That, once I have that Cybertruck in Calgary, you kidding me? It's
going to
be
ask.
Like shooting fish in a barrel. And speaking of shooting fish in a barrel, that was also on Dono's timeline. Okay, we brought it all back.
Very nice. I was going to ask, have you seen any in Calgary, or are they only available in the U.S. right now?
I think they're still only available in the U.S. I have not seen a Cybertruck. I have definitely seen like versions of those trucks you see online,
right?
You know, that have a lot of anti-government things on them.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if you saw the one, there was an American one where someone got a decal made where it looked like Joe Biden was hogtied in the back of their pickup
truck.
I did
see that one. Decal for Dono and any Americans listening.
I still can't believe y'all say it like that.
I know
That's wild.
I know.
But yeah, so we do have a little, I haven't seen Trudeau tied up in the back of a pickup, but yeah, you definitely get the big, like, you know, Calvin pissing on the Canadian flag or whatever the fuck they do.
For sure. Yeah. This is from, cause I feel like, I mean, maybe it's like some sort of like selective bias or something, but it does seem like the only time you do see Cybertruck stuff, it's because they have like fucked up really badly. Which I think is, you know, I think that is happening.
Yeah.
A lot,
you haven't
probably
seen a ton of like, I just love my Cybertruck posts.
But this is from Chuck Cook at Chazman on Twitter. And, if you can believe it, yes, he does have a blue check mark. I know that might be hard to believe.
Chuck Cook, does this guy work at A&W or what?
Oh my God.
Hello.
That's really, really good. Very good. anyway, I guess like people have been obviously complaining about how like shitty the Cybertruck is. And essentially what has happened here is he has posted, oh God, it's such a bad post. I wish we could put it up. Let me just find it. Here we go. As a middle-aged dad with a family, I think I finally understand the importance of the perfect dress for prom or a special event. Driving the Cybertruck around town gives me what I imagine is the same feeling a woman might have looking stunning in a unique dress. I apologize for ever skimping on an incredible dress. This feeling is real and absolutely worth it.
Wow.
Wait, this guy never figured out that like wearing nice clothing might make someone feel good?
That's right. Yeah, correct.
Well, I got my big metal box. I understand how women feel now. I think I'm an ally now. God damn. We talk about this a lot on our show. That does speak to like your standard kind of cis dude being really restricted. Like you couldn't identify with that? You never had a day where like you wore an outfit you really liked? That's so fucking bleak.
Yeah. I mean, definitely not. Because this guy is like ex US Navy and pays for a blue check mark on Twitter. But yeah, you're right. Like it's just like I, you know, just wear like a nice sweater or something and people are like, hey, nice sweater. That feels good, you know? Like the equivalent of the dress thing is like you also wearing nice clothes. It's not you driving this hunk of shit around.
It's not exclusive to cis women or whatever. Like,
also, I feel like the looks you
finally get prom.
The looks you're getting for driving the truck around are like, wow, check out this asshole.
That too, yeah.
Like it's very, very different. You're confusing the two looks.
I finally understand how women struggle with catcalling now that I've driven around in the Cybertruck and people have called me a dipshit repeatedly.
God. I don't know. Like again, because it's weird because I feel like I've gotten less offline, I'm maybe more susceptible to like I don't want to say like falling for like fake posts and stuff, but I do think this is a real post from a real guy. It is harder to tell than ever before on Twitter now, especially who is like fake posting for clout. But I think this is a real post, and I just what more
the
can
one
you say
thing,
about it?
The one strike against that post is it does feel like what Elon Musk would come up with in a marketing meeting.
Yes.
To, you know, they're like, oh, we gotta do, you know, now that you own Twitter, we gotta do some of these like disguised tweets that look like they're from real people. Like, do you have any ideas? Elon would for sure be like, there's gotta be something with prom. We could probably be doing something with prom.
Yeah. Also, it would be like 3 a.m. and he'd be all pilled out.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I say marketing meeting, I mean Elon frantically emailing his marketing team at 3 a.m. when he's K-holing.
That's right. John, what's going on in your social media?
Well, another bad post here, Stefan, and this one comes from Reddit. I saw this. Someone just tweeted this out. It's a screen cap from r/teachers. So obviously, you know, my people. And it came from Roxy at Redrawn Oxen. And they just wrote, people aren't right. And this is so, I mean, this is such an encapsulation of, and I am inclined to believe this is real.
Okay.
I know that Reddit is not always real, but I'm inclined to believe this is real because, like, I could totally see a parent saying this. And it also just shows, like, the level of where we're at as a society at the moment. So the subject line of the post is "Had a parent get upset over a quote trans field trip." It says, "I am an English teacher and my colleagues and I are planning on bringing our 11th grade students on a field trip later this year. Today, another English teacher got an angry email from a parent saying that they could not believe we were bringing our students on a field trip where they would quote learn about being trans. The field trip they were talking about, we are a New England-based high school currently teaching about Henry David Thoreau. We are planning on taking our students to Walden Pond to learn about his writing. He was a transcendentalist."
Oh my God.
This parent heard the word had trans in it and freaked out. I tagged humor in this post because if I don't laugh, I will cry.
That probably is real, unfortunately.
Yeah, right? Like, it definitely seems like it could be real. It might not be, but it. That's where we're at, is like, I fully believe this could be real.
God. Oh, that sucks really bad. I cannot.
Especially because I could totally imagine, like, a parent being, like, talking to another parent, being like, are you seeing where they're taking our kids? Yeah. This transcendental thing or whatever? This is crazy.
I cannot imagine being a teacher I think it's probably bad enough being a teacher up here in Canada, but being a teacher in the US right now, especially in like certain states, I mean, it's just like the most thankless job in the world. Like, good Lord. Yeah, I that's probably real. That sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but it sucks also.
Yes, sounds real bad.
Just the energy to field insane parent stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting paid enough. The like day-to-day job is stressful. Then you're doing like paper grading, all this other kind of work, like in what is ostensibly your free time. And then you have to have like crisis counselor training basically to talk to a parent who's losing their mind, maybe threatening to kill you and stuff because they saw the word trans somewhere. Goddamn. Salute to the teachers.
Yeah.
Exactly. We must salute our teachers. And, you know, I think if this person was on Twitter, I would block them. And speaking of blocking, let's move on to our block tale.
What did you tweet? You brought receipts. Block tale. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a block tale. Woo!
All right, Dono, the floor is yours. You have kind of a unique block tale. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. So for context, it's kind of what I said before. It's social media. I just kind of post nice stuff. I don't tend to like get in arguments with people and stuff, so I don't get like blocked a lot. And I was trying to think of what would be good because I couldn't think of like anybody who had blocked me or me blocking people other than like bots on Twitter. So the closest thing I have, y'all know John McAfee, right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I feel like, I don't know if we've had him as a block tale subject before.
I believe we have.
Maybe we have, yeah. But he's definitely been brought up on the show before either way.
And we salute him too. Dearly departed antivirus, just kind of crank guy. At the beginning of the pandemic, maybe right before it, we'd only been doing our show for like a year and a half. We didn't have much of an audience. We hadn't really had a whole lot of big guests on. And at the time, I had like terrible insomnia. I kind of became nocturnal in a really bad way. And I was trying to take sleeping meds to help. And it wasn't really doing it. But that was like prime time for shooting shots to guests. Because I was like, what else am I going to do? I'll get on the internet, try to message people. I come upon a Reddit post that I think says, John Mulaney will do your podcast if you've been around for more than a year.
John McAfee or John?
John Mulaney.
Oh, okay.
Is what I think says.
Okay.
And I'm like, nice, that's a famous comedian. We've been going for a year and a half. That could be good. And I like send the email or whatever, like, hey, we've been going for this long. Come on our show. Forget about it because sleeping meds and it was the middle of the night. And then like a few weeks later, I get an email from Janice McAfee who says that John would love to do your podcast. And I'm like, oh shit. It's John McAfee. It's like the killed his neighbor in Belize over some stuff. It's like the I'll eat my dick if Bitcoin goes below whatever, that John McAfee. And I talked to my co-host, Audrey, and I'm like, well, I mean, this dude is huge. Like, this is a famous person. We kind of, like, have to do it, but is it ethical? Because, like, we're a pretty nice, wholesome program generally. Yeah. And this guy,
he's like a big psycho.
Huge psycho.
Yeah.
Not somebody I would go to for, like, gender identity advice.
No.
But we're like, we have to do it. Like, this is, it's too wild. We absolutely have to do this. Completely forget about it. The pandemic starts. April 2020, I was out in Portland at the time. I am driving with my girlfriend at the time and my cat from Portland, Oregon, all the way to Cincinnati, Ohio. And we stop for a couple nights at some hotel in like rural Colorado because we just like needed a break. My cat hated being in the car. And we're supposed to leave the next day, and Audrey texts me and is like, oh, we got the McAfee interview for tomorrow. Are you ready for this? And I was like, oh, shit. I like have to. And I asked my girlfriend if we could stay in rural Colorado an extra day so I can talk to John McAfee, and she's down. And we do the episode, and we kind of like just let him go. Like our normal formats answering listener questions, we're like, we can't keep this guy on the rails. No chance. We have his wife on too. They talk about their relationship. It's actually crazy, like wild experience, super surreal. It's like episode 100. Go listen to it. So all that goes, we put the episode out. They like follow us at some point in that. And then what, like 2 years ago, I find out that he has died, and I start getting messages from like multiple people, some like offering condolences as if he was like a friend of ours, like a tight-knit friend of the show, John McAfee.
True, yeah.
And I see that we've become unfollowed in the process too. So in a way, John McAfee kind of blocked us by allegedly killing himself. And that's the closest thing to a block that I have.
Yeah, because he'll never follow you back, right?
Do you
get him back?
Yeah.
But if you do get the follow back, then I mean, maybe some inside information on whether he's still alive.
Maybe he's still alive.
Did they, like, how do you think that happened? Like, whoever took over his account just, like, unfollowed a bunch of people or what?
Andre and I have talked about this, and she thinks it's because, so we have him and Janice on, who, by the way, love Janice McAfee. She was such a sweet lady. She was great. We've talked about like having her back. She was handling like the email and stuff. I feel like she was running some of the social media. But like part of what they talked about on the show was like him going to prison in different countries and like being on the run from the US government or whatever. They're in like a boat or something. And we're like, hey, where are y'all recording from? And John is like, oh, like we can't tell you that. But Janice is like, oh, we're somewhere in Europe or something. And he died in a fucking Spanish prison. And Audrey is like, do you think that because they talked about it on the show, that's how they found him? And I'm like, I don't know. There's no fucking way. He did so many shows in that stretch.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if she maybe like unfollowed some shows in the lead up, or if like on other shows too much information was revealed. Because I have no idea. Like they followed us. They retweeted the episode. They were following us for a while, but there was no like event besides that would explain it. So I don't know. She thinks we caused it a little bit.
That work. I think that fits for a block tail technically.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's great. I mean, what a wild. Trying to think if I've ever had a similar experience, but I don't think so.
I don't think, anyone has.
Well, not that specific experience, but I just mean of like someone dying and then being like, oh, but they unfollowed me. That's. I remember there was like a time period, and Stefan, you probably remember this too, like 7 or 8 years ago when Twitter was, you know, was huge and was the thing, that there were these companies that popped up that were like, oh, you give us your login information, then when you die, we'll take care of your like memorial tweet and, you know, steward your account or whatever. And it's funny that that became a business for like a brief window of time.
Yeah. Maybe I think now it's just like a thing now, isn't it? That you can just have like on your phone or whatever, where it just like automatically, I don't know, but yeah, that's
going. Indirectly, though, having him on is probably how I connected with y'all, because we had him on. He also went on Pod Damn America with like Anders Lee and Alex Patak, Jake Flores, when that was all three of them. Then we had Jake on the show. Then from him, we connected with Brett and Brian because I was a Street Fight fan. And then Brian connected me with some other people. Indirectly, John McAfee is connected to me being on the show right now. And that's pretty cool. And we salute him, and we all mourn his passing.
Thank you, John.
What a hero.
Thank you. Thank you, John. We have a good listener block this week. This is, I would say just a simple block tale. And I think a tale that some of us will relate to. This one is from Rye. Hello, John, Stefan, Dan, and guest. The night of the Chris Tanev trade, Chris Tanev is a hockey player, a friend of mine tweeted, do more trades at NHL. So, of course, I changed my profile picture and screen name to those of the National Hockey League and replied, no. I then swapped back to my normal pick and name and soon forgot about this dumb little joke. My account has been private for several years and everything was working fine until a few days later I opened the app to find out that I had been, quote, suspended for violating Twitter's rules regarding impersonation, specifically pretending to be another entity in a misleading or deceptive manner.
Oh my God. From a private account too? That's so funny.
Keep up the great work, Rye. So like just Rye tweeting to a friend pretending to be the NHL from a private account.
And getting blocked. That's so funny, man. God, Twitter's so bad. Like I get it because when you look at how many fake Elon Musk accounts there are that like are actually managing to fool complete morons.
It rocks.
I get where they're coming from, I guess, but that's so funny.
It's so phenomenally stupid. Like, it's just like, who is that for? Who is that helping? Like, who's like, thank God Twitter's out. Thank God Elon and Twitter, they're out there just keeping us safe. You know, it just...
Really good.
It is so wild to me. Thank you, Rye, for sending that one in. If you want to send in a listener block, you can send us an email at blocked@blockedparty.com. If you want to donate to the show and help us get to this, I guess we'll have to decide what our Canada Juice 2 goal is.
Yeah.
But you also get a ton of bonus episodes. It's over at patreon.com/blockparty. We do 3 bonus episodes every single month. You'll also get access to our entire back catalog, which at this point is almost over 200 episodes. So, you know, if you want more of this brain poison, Steph and I are going to poison ourselves with the Canada Juice. You might as well poison yourself with our content.
Yes.
We also have ad-free episodes if you hate the ads, merch discounts, an exclusive Discord. And you can still become a $100 club member, which gets you all of our perks. Plus, it gets us closer to our goal, which if we reach a certain cap of $100 club donors, whatever, then you get, then Stefan and I will go through a drive-through with Stefan driving, and I will do Take a Look at This Part 2, and I will watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So all of that is up for offer. Head on over to patreon.com/blockparty. You can also follow us Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @blockpartypod. If you want the video of this episode, it's on our YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/@blockedparty. And we are also on Blue Sky @blockedparty. And as always, if you like the show, please tell a friend. All right, we are here at the end of the show. That means it's time for the top three.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Uno, 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 uno.
Mustard.
3.
Socks.
2.
Girlfriend.
Uno, 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 uno.
3. All right, Donald, what do you have for us?
3, 2, 1.
2, 1.
Uno, uno, uno.
2.
Can I ask real quick, what is the origin of that, the different languages and stuff?
No idea. That was Charlie, one of our listeners, Charlie, just sent in that theme and just...
thank you, Charlie.
Just did the... That was how we decided to write the theme. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Charlie.
Uno, 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 uno.
You're doing a heck of a job, buddy. Another salute. I'm giving a lot of salutes on this program, and I got one for you, too. All right. Y'all are going to either love or hate this one. Okay. I like really spent some time trying to figure out what the top three should be. I had top three seltzer flavors as like a backup, but we covered that. And so we got to do my other one, which is top three zits or similar that you have popped.
Ooh,
and it could be
I
on you
this.
Or another person.
I love this. Is going to be good.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. I haven't had any zits for a while, but I definitely remember some specific ones. So, yeah.
Do not like that.
This is going to be great. Donna, do you want to go first?
Okay,
with your number
Donna,
three?
You're number three, please.
Number three. Do you know what a Peely Multi Gemini is?
Why would I know?
No.
That?
I might be saying it wrong. Yeah, I like birds and trains and also like types of skin conditions, man.
Okay.
This is one where like a pore grows out like multiple hairs, but they're like fucked up hairs. Like they kind of... I don't know. It looks like the top of a green onion, like the kind of like sprouting out. It's not green, but that kind of situation.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
And I'd like seen videos of them on the internet. And I always wanted to get one because it's like an ingrown hair, but like different. Because you pull it out, there's a big head, like the bottom of a green onion. You pop that
like
whole
like a bulb. It's got like a bulb.
It's got a bulb on the end of it.
Oh, okay. I hate this.
And a couple months ago. I was doing some shaving and I felt something and I was like, oh, no way. No way. It's time. And I fucking yanked the thing out. It had like 5 hairs. There's a couple clear ones in there. One of them was like weirdly flat and a big old bulb on the end. I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
I still got that somewhere. Sent it to, you know, important people in my life.
That's your number three?
That's my number three.
Oh my God. Okay.
Jesus.
All right.
Fuck.
Okay.
I hate this shit. People who like Dr. Zit Popper or whatever the fuck his name, like, ugh.
Yeah, it's
shit
me.
Sucks.
I hate that I'm into it.
No, that's fine. It's fine. Becca loves it too. Anytime I've got anything going on, she wants to pop it. It's anyway.
We salute Becca.
I think I'm trying to remember like actually specific ones, but it's more just like specific places on my body that I've gotten them. And I remember popping them. So for me, it's like the classic, like big, like whitehead zit is obviously like, it's a classic for a reason.
Classic.
Where you can kind of see what's going to happen, but it's I was gonna say it's hilarious. It's not hilarious. It's kind of disgusting.
It's actually, like the clear bag of chips. You know what you're getting.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think just like getting one, like right on your chest. Cause it's, I think having the one on the chest is nice because it's in a really easy position to pop it because you're just going like this, right? Whereas other parts of your body, it can be tougher to get the pressure and the pop going properly. But I love getting a good one here where you almost like hear a pop. It's like audible.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just like this like ooze just comes out. It's just, it's wonderful.
Good.
I'm so
answer.
Excited for John's here. John?
I hate this. Okay. Well, so weirdly, I had a sort of blessed trip through puberty and like teenage years because I really never got acne or pimples or zits like at all, really. But when I did get them, and it was maybe once a year. But I have a bit of a pronounced nose. I don't have a huge nose, but I have pretty big nostrils. And it's definitely like, you wouldn't call it a small nose. And if I ever got a pimple, it was always exactly on the end of my nose.
Ugh.
Like where I just looked like Rudolph. And then even if you pop it, it's like, you know, you still got the redness there for a couple days. And so it was funny because I would always, you know, my friends were going through like getting pimples and having acne and stuff. And I was always sort of like, no, well, you know, I never really get pimples, you know. And then the first one I got was just a fucking honker right on the end of my nose. I just look like an absolute loser. And then I've gotten that like recurring. It's less now, obviously, that I'm older, but it's still to this day. If I ever get a pimple, it is directly on the end of my nose. So that's my number three, I guess. Wow. Dono, you're number two.
Those tend to be painful, too. That's a tough zone for them.
Not good. Not good.
Let's see. My number two. You know what a tonsil stone is?
Oh,
no.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I have a guess. I have a guess. The title's fairly descriptive, so.
So you know how you got like those weird pockets in your tonsil and like stuff can get in there?
Sure.
Okay, I do now.
Yeah.
I got like messed up tonsils because I had strep a whole bunch when I was younger. I should have gotten them taken out and they wouldn't let me for whatever reason. That's a longer story. You can get buildup and they're just like these kind of like white. I mean, they look like little stones, like little chunks that get lodged back there. And sometimes you can feel them. They smell. It's one of the worst things I've ever smelled. They're absolutely vile.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, for a long time, I was trying to think of a good technique to get them out. I've narrowed down. I get a Q-tip, dip it in some mouthwash because I'm very sanitary about this. And you just kind of push on it. And one time I did that and like a handful of them, like a whole nest just like fired out. Shot straight out of there. And similarly, I took a picture and sent it to all of my family members and friends. All together, like probably the size of like a pencil eraser head, maybe bigger than that. It was a big, nasty chunk.
Holy shit.
God damn it.
This is a really good top three.
No, this sucks.
It's a really good top three.
Fuck. Stefan, you're number two.
Well, I have a sizable forehead, and I haven't had zits here for a while.
Some might call it a five head.
It is a five head, I think. It might even be a six head. And getting a zit on here, again, for ease of popping, and also just like, it's just like right in the middle there. You pop it, and then, I mean, the downside is that it does sort of like, the ooze might go on your face itself, but it is very easy to see in the mirror.
You're just sort of comfortable with that.
Yeah, just very, okay, yes. But very satisfying to just like, squeeze like this, get a pop out. I also feel like it's easier where the skin is like a bit thinner too, to get the pop going, right? But yeah, I'm gonna say kind of right in the middle of my forehead, just a classic white head. Happened many times as a teenager, but popping that felt great. John?
Stefan's a classic man when it comes to popping.
And that's the first time Stefan's ever been called a classic man.
Yes.
My number two, when I was a kid, I got a pretty bad wart on my toe.
Oh, shit.
And my mom used to have to cut it off. And then put that, like, there's like, it's almost like formaldehyde.
It,
like,
it freezes it, right?
No, it's like, this was before, like, it's not even freezing. It's supposed to, like, heal it.
Oh,
but because the wart is, like, so protective, you kind of have to cut the wart off. And then you put this thing on, it's supposed to, like, kill the bacteria that, because the wart would just keep growing back.
Yeah.
So it's right. Like,
If I got it lanced off at the doctor or whatever, it would just grow back. So what they would have to do is, yeah, my mom got this specialized, like, wart knife, and then would have to, like, cut the wart off.
It's my favorite
off,
video game.
Which, it's my favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles villain. But the they would, yeah, she would have to cut it off and then put, and it stung, and it stunk. It smelled whatever the fucking solution was. It smelled so bad.
Yeah.
And it hurt like a motherfucker. And I'm like 9 years old or whatever. So yeah, my mom would just have to sit on my bed, cut off my wart, and then dab this fucking solution on it to try to get it to not grow back.
That sucks.
And it recurred like several times over the years. Now it's fine. I haven't had one in forever. But again, it was like right on the end of my toe, so it'd be like at the top of the toe.
Yeah. Kinda,
so it would
that's painful.
So it would,
that is
yeah,
a painful
it would rub
spot.
My
yeah.
other toe. Right?
Yeah,
so not a good scenario. God bless my mom. I also had lice 3 times, and my mom would have to sit there and pick them all out. Like just being a parent, you know,
it's tough.
Really
it's hard
wild
work.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the number one going to be here? What could it possibly
I
be?
I know
here?
Dono's really set the bar very high here. I expect I might puke during this one.
First, a salute to all the hardworking parents out there. Yeah. But following that up, y'all familiar with a belly button stone?
Wait, what? Okay, that sounds like you're making it up. I am familiar with them, though. Britney Spears famously had a pretty sexy one back in the 90s, oh if I God. Recall.
We're talking about, I think they call them like umbilolithes.
Okay.
It's basically like the folds and stuff in your belly button. You can get like dead skin and oil accumulating in there and like a little rock forms basically. Like a blackhead kind of situation. So she's going to hate me for saying this on here, but a few years ago I was dating somebody and I don't know. We had just had sex or something. Like we're laying in bed naked. And I don't fucking know why I do this. I just was kind of messing with her belly button for some reason. That's a little weird. I don't remember why, but I felt something hard and I was like, "Hey, what is that?" And she's like, "I don't know." And I was like, she was aware of my proclivity for popping stuff. I was like, "You have to let me have a go at this thing." So I go and I get, I think I had like a little popping tool that you could kind of like scoop with, like one of them rings you can like push on something. So I got that. I got my phone flashlight and I see like a couple dark spots and I push on one. Probably also close to the size of a pencil eraser. This big fucking rock comes out of there and I found like 2 or 3 more of them. And I'm not just trying to be gross. I think about this sometimes and I'm like, God damn, I wish it would happen again. Never encountered one since. I wish I would get them. I'm still friends with her and sometimes I'll text her and be like, you ever get any more of those belly button things? She fucking hates it. That was so good. That's number one.
Wow. Okay. Well, my number one
a good tip for our listeners. If you're ever feeling around in your belly button, yeah. Like check your belly button.
Call me
folks.
Up.
My number one, is I had a big zit on my ass once.
Oh,
nice.
And this is more for like degree of difficulty, I think, in terms of popping it.
Well, you didn't just have like someone else pop it.
No, I managed to pop. Well, I popped it myself. It's possible, but it's a tougher, right? Because with like the forehead or like it, like where the skin is thinner, it's easier to kind of get a grip on the skin, right?
Yeah.
And the ass skin is a bit tougher to get a grip on. And it was like also kind of like one of those zits that's like painful, and maybe it was like an ingrown. I don't know what it was exactly, but just one, you know when you have a zit that hurts.
No, fun.
It was like that, and so I remember popping it, and it like exploded, and it was kind of bad because I had like a big wet like hole on my ass for a little bit. But
isn't that, aren't you used to that?
I know, but I had a second one, I mean, so yeah. But the ass is it, number one.
Okay, I think I've told this story on the show before, but when I was, I guess it was in my early 20s, I was in a band and I played drums, And I had knocked over a hi-hat. So, you know, for those of you who don't know, that's the thing that's usually right beside the snare drum with the two cymbals that close. You know, it goes like, it's like that thing. So that's like upright, and I'm carrying another drum, and I'm trying to like squeeze by my hi-hat on the stand, and I knock the hi-hat stand over, and the cymbals land like cymbal edge first on my big toe. So it was, and I was wearing Vans slip-ons. So I have like, no, it's like not a protective shoe in any way whatsoever. So I end up with like a pretty sizable toe injury. Like it was not good. I don't think my toe was broken, but it was rough. So obviously, this kills the nail on my toe. Oh,
that's a bad feeling.
And the weird part was that I don't know what it was, but I guess like the skin of my big toenail had kind of like grown over the side of the toenail enough that when the dead nail was falling off, it was falling off at the bottom, but not on the sides.
Oh no.
So like if you pushed on the top of the nail, the bottom would go up like this, but it stayed attached to my toe. I cannot believe the look on Dono's face right now. This is like the happiest I think you've ever been in your life. So it's like still attached. It's still attached on the sides. So then at the bottom, what was starting to happen is because the nail was like rubbing on the nail bed, it was forming these massive blood blisters. And my girlfriend at the time was also, you know, had dermatillomania or whatever, and was like obsessed with this blood blister, and it would get so big. So every day, like multiple times a day, she would pop my blood blister. So it was like sterilized, like a sewing needle, and then pop the blood blister. So the blood would drain out and then the blister would grow. And then over time, obviously eventually the nail fell off, but yeah, it was probably a solid week where like every day, multiple times a day, she had to pop this blood blister because it was super painful and it would get super big. So she had to just like drain this blood blister every day until my fucking toenail fell off.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I think I've told the story before. It fell off in a pool in Mexico.
What a gift.
I dove into, we were on vacation. We went to this like all-inclusive in Mexico. First night, we get there at night. It's been a long day. I'm like, I want to go swimming in the pool. I dive into the pool, and as I dive into the pool, I guess the force, I could feel my nail just go like, what? And so then, I just like got out of the pool and picked it off. But so it didn't end up in the pool, but that was like,
yeah. Oh,
so
Jesus.
That's easily the worst sort of zit adjacent thing that's ever happened to me.
Strong answer. I got those a couple times playing rugby. You get like, somebody steps on your foot or whatever. It's gnarly.
Yeah, it's not great. I'd love to say that was a great top three. It wasn't for me, but I know people will like it.
That's a classic. That was a classic.
Thank you, Dono, for that. And thanks for guesting on the episode. It was so great to have you. Before we go, anything that you would like to plug?
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me on. I got a couple things. The main thing is my main podcast, Radio Free Topic. It's a dating advice podcast I do with my co-host, Audrey. We got guests on. We've had John and Stefan. We've had a lot of other people who have been on here. You can send us in questions each week. Dating stuff, gender identity stuff, mental health stuff. We talk about a lot. And it's sincere advice, but it's a goofy time. I'm also currently, I don't think it's out yet, but I'm co-hosting a Jersey Shore bonus series for Western Kabuki for their Patreon. So keep an eye out for that. Me and Caleb and Katie Rose Leon, who was on Ballin' Out Super. It's been very fun. Keep an eye out for that. And I'm posting synth music at soundcloud.com/Donovan-Air. E-Y-R-E. And I thought I had a last thing here. Oh, I'm not on social media a whole ton. I'm like locked on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Dono on Blue Sky, though. Hey, follow me. See pictures of me and my cat and synth stuff like I was Sam before. It's a good time. So Check it out.
There you go. Thank you all for having me. Yeah, Radio Free Tote Bag. Great show. As Dono said, Stefan and I have been on there. Brian Quinby's been on there. And as you said, a lot of other people who have been on Block Party. So check it out. A great pod. And yeah, we'll keep an eye out for the Jersey Shore rewatch pod as well. As for us, again, you can donate to the show, patreon.com/blockparty. You can follow us Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Block Party Pod, Blue Sky and YouTube at Block Party. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.